all of this dry diatribe here that the Catholics have put out. Now let's focus in on what the truth of the mystery of God is. Let's answer the question, the mystery of God. Is it a mystery that he is trying to keep secret? Is it a mystery that we cannot know? Is it a mystery that we cannot understand? All right, let's see what Jesus said. Mark 4. Let's go to Mark the 4th chapter in verse 11. Mark 4 and verse 11. See, the big mystery of the Trinity is this. They have to keep it a mystery because if the truth were known, people who would read the Bible would reject it. And after all, how can you keep a church going if people reject what you teach? You can't. Okay? Mark 4 and verse 11. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know. God wants us to know. God's way is not a strict mystery which cannot be known. Jesus said, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Quite amazing. Let's go to Luke 8 and verse 10. We're going to see something else. There is more than one mystery or secret that God is revealing. Okay, we'll see it here in Luke. He puts it in the plural. And this is the parallel account of the same thing. Luke 8 and verse 4. And he said unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And there are two fundamental mysteries. So we are to know. That's why it's blasphemous to claim that the Holy Spirit is a person. That's why it is blasphemous to say that there is such a thing as a Trinity, and is in fact idolatry, and is in fact cultism. And I'm tired of having these so-called intellectual theologians lay upon us being a cult because we don't believe in the Trinity. Okay? Now, let's go on and see this. All right? 1 Timothy 3. Here's the first part of the mysteries of God. 1 Timothy 3, then verse 16. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16. It says verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The true understanding of what Jesus really was and what he really did. And that's why the section in the coming Passover book, which by the way is about 99.9% done, I have a 22-page chapter in there about the meaning of the body of Christ and the flesh of Christ. And I go through and show the nature of God, the nature of man, showing that man has the law of sin and death in him, and what we've covered during the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread here in the past few years, that Jesus Christ had to have carried within his body the law of sin and death. And that, brethren, is going to be a bombshell to them. That is going to blow their minds. And I mean their minds, that is anyone who does not understand the Bible, or that is anyone from any of these other churches and denominations. The central doctrine of Catholicism is the Immaculate Conception of the Virgin Mary, so that Jesus would be immaculately conceived and not have upon his soul the stain of Adam's sin. So what is in that absolutely obliterates the very foundation of Catholic doctrine. Although I don't attack it head on, I just present the truth. Okay? God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, so that he could be raised from the dead, made spiritually righteous. That's what it means. He didn't need any justification for his sins, but what he did justified all of mankind when they repent and accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So therefore, he was justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. That's one aspect of the mystery of God. Now, what is part of the test? What is part of the test of faith for that? Let's go to 1 John, the 4th chapter. 1 John, the 4th chapter. Okay? And here's when they were having a lot of these doctrines that we're reading right now about the false doctrines of Christ. 1 John, the 4th chapter, that's why this is written. Verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You want to know what motivates all these false prophets? False spirits. And hereby, or by this method, we know, or know you, the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. And that means the same kind of flesh that we have. And there are very few people that will admit that. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you heard that it should come, even now is already in the world. Okay? So that's what we're reading. We're reading the confirmed doctrines of the spirit of Antichrist. Okay? Now, the other part of the mystery of God is that we become the children of God. And one of the things that is said against those who against us who believe that we will become as God is God, although lesser authority, the same kind of existence, is that they turn to Genesis, the first chapter, and they say that that is a doctrine of Satan the devil, because what did Satan the devil promise Adam and Eve if they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? That they would become as God. Now, on the surface, it would seem like that's what it's saying. But what it really meant there in Genesis, the first chapter, is that you would become as God to determine what is right and to determine what is wrong, not that you would become a son of God. So there is a difference in that, you see. So the second part of the mystery of God, which we are to know, is that we will become the very sons of God. Now let's go to Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, and let's see what the Apostle Paul said about this and what he was teaching, what he was preaching, what he was making known. He wasn't hiding it. He wasn't saying, oh, brethren, we don't know the mystery of God. Oh, it's too deep for us to understand. He didn't say that. He wrote in power, and he wrote in boldness. Let's pick it up here in verse 1. For this cause, Paul had a cause, Ephesians 3 in verse 1. I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me toward you or to you, how that by revelation it was made known unto me the mystery. Was made known, not concealed, but revealed. As I wrote before in a few words, whereby when you read, you're able to understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be made fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. And then we come down here to verse 9. And to make all, his whole job, here's his whole job, brethren, okay? And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, to the intent that the that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay? Go back to chapter 1 here now for just a minute. Chapter 1 and verse 9. Okay? Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. So it is made known. It's not a strict mystery. It is not hidden. The true mystery of God is the plan of God being revealed through the gospel to every one of us by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Okay? Let's go to Colossians, the first chapter now. Colossians 1 and verse 26. And here's another part of the mystery of God. Okay? When the Holy Spirit is a person, you don't understand this part of the mystery. Colossians 1 and verse 26. Even the mystery which has been hid from the ages and from generations and is now made manifest, revealed to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now you see, when we come to understand about the Spirit of God is directed by Jesus Christ, though it comes from God the Father. Okay? That is how Christ can be in us. Not that he as a person is in us, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are to what have in us? What did Paul say? Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Okay? That's how Christ is in you. So what is happening when churches are going out and adopting the Trinity and rejecting the truth of the Bible? They are rejecting the most powerful and the most fantastic thing that God can do for us. And when we're done, we're going to fully understand why the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is unforgivable. Okay? Now, so the twofold mystery of God is God became a man and took upon him human flesh as we have human flesh with the law of sin and death within him. The second part of the mystery is that through calling and repentance and baptism and receiving of the Holy Spirit, man can become a child of God, a full spirit being. Okay? That is the mystery of God being revealed. Now let's go to Romans 16 and let's see how Paul constantly preached that this was known, that it was being revealed. And so therefore you see how that the truth of God flies in the face of all of this Catholic doctrine. Okay? Romans 16 and verse 25. Okay, Romans 16 and verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Manifesting, revealing, making known, be understood. Okay? Which was kept secret since the world began but is now manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Boy, those are some powerful words, brethren. It's made known. And I want us to understand as we go through this that having the Spirit of God, we have the greatest and most fantastic thing that could ever happen to us in this life. There is not a thing greater that can happen to any person in this life than to receive the Spirit of God the Father. That's why the doctrine of the Trinity is such an absolutely blasphemous thing. Okay? Let's go on. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Okay? This shows the finality of the mystery of God. 1 Corinthians 15. Okay? Here's the finality of the mystery. Look it up here in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now that's a mystery being revealed, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Okay? For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Powerful words, brother. Very basic, too. Okay? Let's look at another aspect of this mystery. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And it refers to the marriage of Christ and the church. Okay? Let's pick it up here in verse 30. Ephesians 5 and verse 30. For we are members of his body, which then is the church, of his flesh, that is because of the crucifixion, and of his bones. Not relics to be venerated, but the reference to the bones there has to refer back to the creation of Eve from one of the ribs of Adam. Okay? So that just as Eve was created from the bone of Adam, so are we created, the church, from the innermost part of Christ. In an analogy and in a figure of speech. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So that's another part of the mystery or the secret of God being revealed and made known as exemplified by marriage. Okay? Let's go to 1 Timothy, the third chapter. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 9. And we're talking about the qualifications for an overseer, someone to teach the people. What are they to be doing? One of the qualifications, verse 9, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. That is to understand it, to teach it, to be convicted of it, to preach it. Okay? Now, let's go to Revelation 1 and verse 20. And here is a perfect example about how God reveals the mystery with his word. Here it is spoken very clearly. And here it is referring to the mystery of the seven stars. Verse 20, Revelation 1. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven golden or the seven candlesticks which you saw are the seven churches. God explains what he means. But you see, God has to call a person so that they understand. That's why God the Father is the only one that can call and open your minds. We're talking about some things, brethren, which are really deep in God's Word. Now let's go to Revelation 10. Revelation 10. And we will see that there's going to be a time when this mystery will be finished. Because when Christ is here on the earth, it's going to be clearly revealed to everyone. It's not going to be a secret just held and understood by the brethren. Okay, Revelation 10 and verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, that the mystery of God should be finished as he has declared to his servants the prophets. Okay? So it's going to be finished at the resurrection. Now then, there's another mystery on the earth. There's another mystery on the earth which manifests itself in two ways. Okay? And that is the mystery of Satan. Now we know, you can just put down in your notes there, Matthew 4:4, Luke 4:4, and also the whole section there in Matthew and Luke about the temptation of Jesus, and how that Satan said he would give Jesus the whole world. Revelation 12:9, how Satan is deceiving the whole world. And that's why Satan's way is a mystery, because he doesn't want to expose who's doing it. Because anyone in their right mind, if they knew it was Satan the devil, would not follow along, would they? No, of course not. Okay? Now, he's also called, Ephesians, the second chapter, the prince of the power of the air. That spirit which now works within the children of disobedience. Okay, now let's go to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, where this mystery is called the mystery of iniquity. And we will see how the mystery is. Okay, now let's go to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, where this mystery is called the mystery of iniquity. And we will see how the mystery of iniquity operates. And what is the premise? What is the foundation and the heart and core of its operation? Let's pick it up here in verse 7, 2 Thessalonians 2. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. During Paul's day, it was already working. Okay? Only he who now lets, or that is holding back, will hold back until he be taken out of the way. And then that wicked one be revealed. And I don't know how far we are to the end of the age, but I'll tell you one thing. If this election did not prove that people are willingly deceived, I don't know what will ever prove it. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming, even whose coming is after the workings of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Here is how the mystery of iniquity succeeds. And we can see it in action right here in this so-called My Catholic Faith. Because they receive not the love of the truth. They don't want the truth of God. They want their own way. They don't want the laws and commandments of God. They want to judge those and create their own and say they're of God. Okay? For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. So they believe in lies and fairy tales and deceptions. What was it that the Apostle Peter said? He said, when we came preaching the power of Christ. We didn't come preaching fables to you. See, he came preaching the truth. All right? Now let's go back to Revelation 17. And here's the other part of the mystery of God, called Babylon the Great, the whole civilization of this world. Okay? Pick it up right here in verse 1. We're all familiar with this, but let's go over it and read it into the record. Verse 1. Then came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come here, and I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. All the spiritual drunkenness and false doctrines and not loving the truth, but loving a lie and enjoying those that lie. You know, I made a comment today. We were talking this morning. And I made a comment. Isn't it interesting how Satan brings about things of evil on the earth? Okay? Now we are ready in America for full-fledged sex on public television. I mean, we're just a step away from it. Okay? And he's already introduced all the little kiddies to bestiality. And probably a lot of people think, my, wasn't that a wonderful movie that Walt Disney put out called The Beauty and the Beast? But that's the way Satan introduces his doctrines. Okay? And here is truly the beauty and the beast. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, and having a golden cup in her right hand full of abominations, and that is blasphemies. And the filthiness of her fornication, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and blasphemies in the earth. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing more blasphemous than what we read here, doing away with the second commandment. There is nothing more blasphemous toward God than the kind of worship that Babylon the Great puts out, whether it is Catholicism or whether it is Buddhism or Mohammedism or animism or whatever it may be. She is the mother of it. So there is the mystery of Satan. So the mystery of God is revealed. The mystery of Satan is revealed. And next time we'll go through and show and prove from the scriptures that the Holy Spirit is the power of God and not a person.